Hey, it's Boxer.
And I'm Sarah Towns with Experience Columbus.
Did you know Columbus is home to the number one science museum in the country?
Ranked number 7 on Food & Wine's list of America's next great food cities?
And one of Condé Nast Traveler's top 10 best big cities in America?
Yes, Columbus. An Experience Columbus podcast keeps you in the know about what's happening in the Arch City.
Binge, listen to all the current episodes.
Or catch up on all things Columbus and discover what makes this city so special.
By the end, you'll be asking yourself, can all of this really exist in one city?
Yes, Columbus.
Welcome to Next on the Tee with Chris Mascaro, where tour players, legends, and the top instructors in the game share their stories, insights, and playing lessons. Join Chris every week as he talks with the greats of the game.
You are the smartest guy I've spoken to on radio or television in my career.
And Chris, again, you're knocking out of the park. You're like 8 under par in this interview.
By having any research, I'm hiring your tail to be the research, man. You're the best.
You're a fantastic host and tremendously respected in the golf community.
Yeah, Chris, you do an amazing job, and your listeners are super lucky to have you, and it's always my pleasure.
Chris Mascaro is the king of the golf podcast. Don't miss him on Tuesdays.
Now, here's your host, Chris Mascaro.
Good evening, folks, and thank you for joining me again this week on Next on the Tee. I'm your host, Chris Mascaro. This week, I have a really big show in store for you. Typically, I open up with telling you about 4 great guests that are going to join me tonight. Well, this week, that number is 5. 5 fantastic people with great stories that I'm looking forward to having as part of the show this week. We'll start things off with a return visit from my good friend, Debbie O'Connell. She's got a great new program that she is going to tell us about. Plus, she puts together a fantastic trip every year for the Solheim Cup. Did so this year. Well, the Solheim Cup is back again next year because they want to get it back on even number years. Kind of got off kilter with COVID, so she'll tell us about that. Plus, a whole lot more when she joins me just a few minutes from now. Following Debbie, I'll get a visit from a guy who has resurrected some of the iconic brands in our game, like McGregor Golf, Ram Golf, Ben Hogan, Zebra, and Teardrop Putters, and that's the CEO for all of them now, Simon Millington. I can't wait to hear how he's brought these brands back to life. The new McGregor and Ram clubs look fantastic. Zebra Putters, remember, they were made famous years ago by Raymond Floyd. You remember the great mallet putter he used to use? Raymond used to putt the eyes out of the ball using that mallet putter. So Simon's got a lot of great stories to share with us and great news about these brands. Can't wait to hear him. He'll join me about 25 minutes from now. Following Simon, we'll get a visit from European Senior Tour pro Clark Dennis. Clark started out playing on what was then the Nike Tour and then a bit on the PGA Tour. Actually finished tied for 6th in the 1994 U.S. Open at Oakmont. We'll hear about that experience, plus his back-to-back victories at the Senior Italian Open in 2017 and 18. He's looking to make it 3 wins there a couple of weeks from now. Looking forward to having Clark as part of the show. He'll join me a little bit later on in the hour. We'll kick off hour number 2 of the show with a visit from Steve Fluke. Steve is a co-founder and chief marketing officer for Power 2 Golf. Wait till you hear this story. I encourage you to go out to power2golf.com and check out this amazing club. If you're an adaptive golfer or someone who can no longer swing the golf club for whatever reason, this club is the answer to all of your prayers. We'll hear all about it when Steve joins me, like I say, about an hour from now. And then we're going to round out this week's show with a late-night visit from our resident director of instruction, Tom Patry. I'm going to talk to Tom this week about some of the rules in golf that drive us nuts. You know what a stickler TP is. I'm sure he's going to hate the things we talk about. The 2 off the first tee rule that many of us employ, or the leaf rule from this time of year. We'll talk about the mulligan, which actually started at Wingfoot back in the day. Can't wait to drive TP nuts. Like I say, he'll join me a little over an hour from now. So as always, we're going to have a really fun show tonight, and I can't thank you all enough for tuning in and taking the journey with me again this week. You know, folks, with the show now being available on TribLive.com and with all my Yinzer friends up there in the Pittsburgh area, you get to start to meet some wonderful individuals in and around the city. And I did just that with Caroline Cease and the folks at Enchanted Destinations. If you're ready to start planning your dream vacation, be sure to check out Carolyn and the folks there at Achenta Destinations. If you're planning to go to Disney World or Universal Studios, take a cruise or vacation at an all-inclusive resort, go to enchanteddestinations.net and Carolyn and her folks are going to help you out and plan the perfect getaway. They're great people doing great things, and they are a wonderful help for anybody that's looking to book the perfect vacation. And thinking of the perfect golf getaway and buddy's trip location, remember our folks over at the Macklemore, which is a wonderful resort located just south of Chattanooga, Tennessee, high atop Lookout Mountain. It is a casual two-hour drive from Atlanta, Nashville, and Birmingham. The existing Highlands course is now ranked in the top 100 courses you can play in the U.S. by Golf Digest. The 18th hole is ranked in the top 10 finishing holes in the world. A second course, The Keep, is under construction and will open summer of 2024. The Keep is a Bill Bergen, Reese Jones design and features a mile and a half of dramatic cliff edge, with every inch of that edge filled up with a golf hole. A world-class hotel, Cloudland Lookout Mountain Curio Collection by Hilton, will open spring of 2024. Both have incredible views into historic Macklemore Cove, 1,200 feet below. You got to see it to believe it, folks. Stay, dine, and play golf above the clouds at Macklemore. Go online to macklemore.com to book your stay and play package. Now let's talk grips. I want to tell you about Lambkin grips. Every shot, as you know, has its own unique feel. The trick? Feel comfortable with each one. And comfort is built into the very DNA of Sonar Plus Black Grips. Composed of their Genesis material that provides supreme comfort and durability, with their fingerprint technology, creates a strong connection and unforgettable touch. The game changes from shot to shot. The feel on your hand shouldn't. Lambkin. Feel is everything. I also want to remind you about the all-new Stealth 2 driver from TaylorMade. If there's one thing we know golfers want from a driver, it's distance. But there's actually two things we all want. Distance, and let's not forget, forgiveness. That's why TaylorMade designed the Stealth 2 driver with even more carbon for even more forgiveness. To learn more about the new Stealth 2 driver from TaylorMade, visit them online at TaylorMadeGolf.com. Okay, now back in making it a baker's dozen times is LPGA Top 50 instructor and one of my favorite people on the planet, as you guys know, Debbie O'Connell. Debbie is an LPGA Class A teaching professional. She has been named the LPGA National Professional of the Year and the LPGA Southeast Section Professional of the Year. She's an inductee into her high school's Athletics Hall of Fame. She won the inaugural Nancy Lopez Golf Achievement Award in 2007. In 2016, she was named the Northeast Section Teacher of the Year. She's hosted her own radio show, the Debbie O'Connell Radio Show, for a decade and Par for the Course TV show. She is the founder of Golf Positive, which I love. She's written a wonderful book called Golf Positive, Live Positive, Lessons in Golf and Life. You can get that out on Amazon or listen to it on Audible. And I'm very excited. I get to have her for a 13th time with me tonight here on Next on the Tee. Hey, Debbie, how are you, my friend?
I am fantastic and over the moon excited to be with you again, Chris. You're such an amazing host. What you do for the whole entire golf industry and sharing the incredible knowledge from all of your guests. It's just fantastic. And congrats on all of your success. And thank you for having me back.
Oh, it's an honor for me. So, Debbie, let's get right into it, because I know you've got a free webinar, a masterclass, if you will, coming up. Talk about that.
Oh, yeah. I am ecstatic to share this with everybody. Has anyone ever been in what's called flow state, being in the zone? And it's something that you can actually get even more. You can create it. You can do the triggers to get it. And I am doing a webinar, the 5 keys to unlocking flow state. And it's basically being in the zone. So I'm going to share 5 of the key triggers. There's way more, but 5 of them to get you started, and the 5 key ones that will start to get you in that flow state. And Chris, flow state is that total immersion in the present moment, when you're not concerned about where the ball's going. You're not thinking about a shot or a hole that was a bad experience before. You are in the present moment with the utmost focus, and you feel confident and things feel effortless. You have clarity and there's rhythm and tempo in your swing. And I'm so excited to share how to help people get into this state more and just enjoy the game even better.
So I'm assuming by flow state and being in the zone, it's that time when we've made 5, 6, 7, 8 pars in a row. We're not thinking about the lake on the left, the out of bounds on the right. We are just so into it. Everything just, the hole seems like it's a basketball.
That is it. That's it. As a matter of fact, Sir Nick Faldo describes it as this: I feel confident, relaxed, and patient. I'm aware of my surroundings, but acutely focused on each shot. My rhythm and tempo are in harmony with my mindset and mechanics. Wouldn't we all love that? Right? Oh my God. He says, in addition to being completely engrossed in the process of playing, my thinking is crisp and I get so tuned in with my target that there's none of this. Here, listen to this. None of the mental interference that often accompanies competitive golf.
There you go.
Now, how good would everyone play if they could just get themselves in that mental state, in that flow? You know, Tiger Woods describes that he would oftentimes not consciously remember some of the greatest shots he ever hit. He said, I would remember pulling the club out of my bag. And the next thing I actually remember was watching it fly towards the hole, because he was in such a mental state. And his father was so smart. He helped him train that through hypnosis. He had a friend who was a Navy SEAL who taught Tiger how to kind of do this self-hypnosis while he played, which is basically triggering flow state. Which I'm excited to teach, but Tiger was able to do that. You know, this gentleman, they would meet at the golf course. He'd hypnotize Tiger and have him go play golf. So he literally practiced being in this state. And it's basically what, you know, being hypnotized would do: quiet the prefrontal cortex, the conscious mind thoughts, and have your unconscious mind where, you know, your skills are. We know how to swing the club. And you know, it doesn't matter if you're as good as Tiger or just to play your best golf, wherever your skill level at its peak, that's where we can get to when we quiet your conscious thoughts and you're not worried about what people are thinking or watching or feeling embarrassed or getting frustrated or the distractions and having a lack of focus. So we can have that clarity and play our best.
How long is the course? If I was someone that was going to be going to the golf course and I've got 30 minutes or an hour, I'm traveling to or from the office during the week, and I want to really kind of get myself in the right frame of mind heading into my round of golf this week, how long is the course to listen to?
The masterclass is going to be 1 hour to listen to the whole thing. But in there, I'm going to give actual techniques to that. That would be a lot shorter. And what I've done for my clients is I've recorded a pre-golf meditation. Because you think of this, Chris, right? We warm up our bodies, right? We got to get loose and warm up, do whatever stretches or warming up we do. And that's gotten better and better to do it specifically for golf. And then we go hit some shots or we make some putts. You know, we get warmed up with our performance skills. And most of the time, we don't prepare mentally.
Yeah.
And with, you know, just even taking 10 minutes before you get to the golf course, 5 minutes even. I used to arrive at the golf course for a tournament. You know, I don't play in many tournaments anymore. I'm going to play in a couple this year, but I will absolutely meditate beforehand. And leading up to it, I will visualize me playing golf. I'll visualize me hitting great shots. And here's the key, just to give a hint to everybody and a really solid tip, is to visualize looking through your own eyes. There was a gentleman who was a prisoner of war in Vietnam, and he, in order to conquer his mind to survive, he literally played golf every day in his mind. And he would get dressed, like he looking through his own eyes. He'd feel what he'd feel. He would see what he would see. He would hear what he would hear, you know, maybe get the smell of the golf course and all that. But he would literally, you know, physically get dressed in his mind and then imagine going to the golf course. And he would get those first tee jitters and imagine playing and hitting the fairway, hitting the next shot and just enjoying golf and going around. And he played 18 holes every day. And 6 weeks after he got out of the prison, after 6.5 years, he was invited to a pro-am and he went out and shot 76.
Oh, my.
Yeah, he was a single-digit golfer. But can you imagine not playing golf for that long? And he weighed 100 pounds when he did it.
Gee.
When we know how to conquer our golf mind, we can play better than what we think right now. Or, you know, that one or two great shots or great holes or that great round, play that way more consistently.
So let's take that a step further. Speaking of conquer your golf mind, you've got a new program with that as the title, kicking off later this month. It sounds like something we all need to sign up for. Talk about the new course.
Oh, this course, it's epic. It's the best I have put together. And in 5 days, we're going to help you, you know, get a lot of it's about flow and just conquering your whole mind. So we're going to use, you know, some of the techniques that you know about already, you know, visualizing, using breath, having a clear target, the things that in general we talk about mental game, those are, you know, the hot topics. And I'm going to explain them at a deeper level and take you even deeper and help everyone get out of their own way, you know, and we're using neuro-based science to help create this program and really understanding the brain. I've gotten to be kind of geeking out on our brains and how they work and how we can create new neural connections, because our brains are what we call have neuroplasticity, which means we can mold them and shape them and create different pathways and neurons in our brains. So the heck with the you can't teach old dogs new trick, Chris, because you can. You can. We're gonna help stop the self-sabotaging that happens, the negative self-talk. We're gonna shift from self-doubt and frustration and fear of missing a shot and maybe worrying about being embarrassed to really controlling those emotions, feeling confident, believing in yourself, and having resilience on the course and not falling into, you know, self-sabotaging. And, you know, you're about to shoot your best score ever. You're about to win the club championship, wherever it is that would create those nerves at the end of a round because you're playing so well and you have a chance to do great. We're going to eliminate the old self-sabotaging that happens. When I hear the stories all the time, and I'm sure you do, and I've done it in the past, where I'm coming down the stretch of a great round and all of a sudden I know my score, or someone mentions, wow, you're playing great today. And all of a sudden it's double-double.
Yeah, don't you hate that?
Oh, so we're gonna tackle that as well. And then if anyone out there happens to have that, you know, those yip things about putting, I've coached a few people who came to me with chipping yips, saying, I know this is mental because I'm practicing and I'm hitting these amazing chip shots. And then I get on the course and I feel this jittery. I have doubt and I don't feel confident anymore. And then I just can't do a smooth swing. So we're going to tackle that. We're going to help everyone get laser focused. You know, like Sir Nick Faldo described, be in that total immersion of in the present moment, release the outcome of the shot. So, you know, don't be so results oriented, because if we're trying to force an outcome and create an outcome, we're not in the present moment when we're actually swinging. So, so interesting.
Yes, it is. And I want to take that a step further, because a buddy of mine who has always been a pretty good player, on par. He and I are on par. We're somewhere around a 12 handicap. We are in the low 80s. Every once in a while, we might sneak a 78 or 79 in there. But all of a sudden, he can't putt. I mean, not just he can't putt from 10 feet or 15 feet. He can't putt from 2 feet. Well, suddenly, it's in his head somewhere along the way, to your point a moment ago, that, you know, he expects a bad outcome. He's like, I don't know, I can't putt anymore. And the next thing you know, he four putts. How does that happen?
Well, one, tell him about my course.
Of course.
You know, for sure. But yeah, it's an unfortunate thing. I hear a lot of that story. So it could be a number of different things. It could be it's definitely the meaning that he's putting to the results that are putting so much pressure on him. So what's the meaning of missing that 2 foot putt or the 5 foot putt or the, you know, the meaning of a high score in a round that he's putting so much pressure on himself unconsciously? That's what's crazy. It's unconscious. It's not, he doesn't know consciously, you know, that he's putting this pressure on. It's unconscious. So that's why it's harder to get out of it. you know, there's drills we can do and stuff, but it's really in the unconscious mind. So it's about the meaning that goes to that. The other thing that could have happened is when we have a negative reaction, I mean, an emotional negative reaction to a shot, and he may have done it with a putt and then done it a few times. Your brain remembers negative emotions plus the situation that just happened together. Like, just imagine some of the traumatic events in our lifetime. I bet if people think about it, they know exactly where they were. You know, 9/11, say, you know, I know exactly where I was. I know exactly what I was doing on that. So it was a, this emotional, negative, traumatic day in our history. And I remember hearing about it and seeing it. I can go back to that so easily because the neural connection with that negative emotion is stronger than negative. I mean, than the positive ones. So what happens is if he did that a few times and he got so frustrated, now he's creating these neural connection and memories of missing putts. And all of a sudden he steps over a putt and his brain says, wait, what does this mean? What do I remember? And it's so quick. It goes back and he goes, oh, this isn't good. And your brain's trying to, you know, your brain's job is trying to protect you. So now it's trying everything it can to help you make the putt so you don't have that negative feeling. But that's what the yips are. You know, we're not smooth and we're not really in the present moment. So we need to help him get into the present moment. I mean, total immersion, because here, and it's about fear, right? It, you either have flow mindset and present mindset and positive mindset, or you have a fear mindset. So there's a fear in there that's causing this hesitation and lack of flow, basically, is what we have.
So how do we get him and everybody else listening right now that says, yes, I need that? How do we get him signed up for both of these programs?
Well, I have you're going to do a link for the upcoming free masterclass. And that's going to help set the stage. And if you can't make that, I mean, and everyone can go into then the 5-day challenge. The 5-day, the masterclass is Wednesday, the 18th. And then the 5-day challenge that's coming up, Conquer Your Golf Mind, is October 29th. So it's 5 days and it's just 90 minutes a day. And we're going to help shift so much in your mindset. It's going to help you play your best golf. It's amazing. I've had people day 3 go out and play better than they've played in 20 years. They come back, they're like, I can't believe this. This is amazing. So that one, the website is debbie-o'connell.com/conquer. So that's for the 5-day challenge. And it's, I have it on such a great deal. It's over $1,000 value, Chris, and it's $97.
Wow.
So it's the price of one lesson and will improve your entire game.
That's awesome. 5 days. Debbie, let's switch gears a little bit, and we'll touch on it again before you go. But let's switch gears. And I know you were over in Spain for the Solheim Cup. I know the U.S. team didn't bring home the cup this time, but what was the experience like there?
The experience was absolutely amazing. Again, I love being part of the Solheim Cup. The our hosts there were amazing. I mean, Europe did a great job in putting on the event. The people in the stands were just so excited and passionate, especially about Carlotta Segonda, who's from Spain. And when she came out, obviously the crowd just went absolutely crazy. They had a song they'd play for everybody was singing the song. And what a storybook ending for her to hit an incredible shot on the par three and make the putt to clinch it for Europe. I mean, it couldn't have been any better for her. Not so great for us Americans who were rooting for Team USA to get that cup back. It's been 3 Solheim Cups now. And we did manage to tie, which was really cool, except that we don't get the cup.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I had Susie Whaley on the show last week, and we were talking about the matches ending in a 14-14 tie. And I asked her if she thought there was a need for a tiebreaker in the Solheim Cup, and she said no. Because the U.S. team knew they needed 14.5 points to win. They only got 14, so they lost. I don't know. What are your thoughts? Do we need a tie-breaking system, or is Susie right?
I my opinion is no tie-breaking system. Because what are you going to do? Put everyone out there again? It's a team event where you pick one player and you've played five matches and now one player is going to decide it. Possibly, I don't know how you do it. And I like the tradition of it. I really like the, you've got to earn that cup back. You've got to do a little bit extra to get the cup. So for me, I'm on the same page as Susie. You know, go get that 14.5 and earn that cup back.
So we're going to get the Solheim Cup again next year because they want to get it back on even numbered years. We kind of got off kilter due to COVID a few years ago. Next year, it's going to be here in the U.S. just outside of D.C. in Gainesville, Virginia at the Robert Trent Jones course there. Are you already getting ready for it?
Oh, yes. I have a package put together. So, Chris, I had 117 people sign up for me for Spain. And we had a phenomenal week because we do a golf positive cup. So we come in, we have a welcome dinner, and everybody gets to meet each other. Then I announce the teams. So I have Team America and Team USA. We play a match play format. It's a really fun match play format that we do. It's just, you know, better ball. So it's four ball. And then the last, we do all nine hole matches. The last nine hole is singles. So we do this for 2 days. And then we have a DJ with dancing. So we have a blast to kick it off. And then we play our golf for 2 days. And then we go cheer on Team USA at the opening ceremony. And then for the entire Solheim Cup, we have our closing reception as well for Golf Positive. But it's really a fun time. And what's nice for the traveler is it's worry-free. You know, they don't have to worry about the transportation to get to the Solheim Cup each day. Where am I? I have to go park and then I got to get on a shuttle and then I have to get to the Solheim Cup. I don't worry about buying tickets. I get the tickets for everyone. You know, it's just kind of that, you know what, let me sign up. I'm just gonna go and enjoy just an amazing week. You just have to get there. And our opening dinner this year, Chris, it's oh my God, it's at a place where it's overlooking the Potomac River and then we're seeing the monuments in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
Beautiful location. I'm really excited about that. So our opening dinner is going to be so special. So yeah, I have a package that's ready to go and people have been signing up already and I'll sell out. I've been selling out the last 2 years with travelers and I know I'll sell out again. So I've been encouraging people to get their deposit in and it's refundable except for just a $25 administration fee just until the end of this year. So I want to make sure people know that, you know, you can secure your spot and still feel comfortable that if something comes up and you need to get that deposit back, you get just about all of it. So I like to do that because I always feel badly if someone's like, oh my gosh, I just found out my niece is having a wedding and they gave me $500 and I don't want to keep that. So anyway, so that's what I've, you know, I have a text number that I could give to people.
Please.
But yeah. If you just text the word Solheim to 727-339-0106. So that's 727-339-0106. Text the word Solheim and you will get the link to put your deposit in and save your spot and get your friends. And I guarantee it's a fabulous time. And then I lead the cheers on the first tee. And that's been a blast. We're singing songs for each of the players, like Knight. She's from Texas, right? Cheyenne Knight is shining bright deep in the heart of Texas.
Wow.
So, like we do things nice. Like that. It makes it extra fun. And then, of course, we do all the typical cheers. A big one that we came up with for the Solheim Cup is, besides the USA and then red, white, blue. I mean, there's a whole list of them.
Debbie, one more before I let you go. I want you to remind our listeners about your book, Golf Positive, Live Positive, Lessons in Golf and Life. They can go out and get it on Amazon. You can listen to it on Audible. Talk about what we're going to learn when we order your book.
Oh, it's golf lessons and life lessons. So it's the fundamentals of golf, but what I do with each of those through every part of the game, from putting all the way through to playing on the course to what I call opportunity shots, you know, the in the rough, uphill, downhill lies and things like that. And with each one, I then do a life lesson. for instance, you know, the pitch shot. And then I talk about getting over obstacles. How well do you get over obstacles in life? And I love the lessons we can take from golf and bring them to life, because, you know, we spend more time in life than we do in golf. As a matter of fact, they overlap a little bit. So I just think that with a positive attitude and positive mindset, I don't think, I know, Chris, you'll live an even happier life. And then you'll accomplish more. You'll see the positives in life, the positives in other people. But I also wrote another book. So you can get that one on Amazon. The other, I wrote an ebook, which is really, it's in line with where my interests are lying and where I'm impacting golfers to get the fastest and easiest results is flow state. So I wrote an ebook called The 7 Principles of Lowering Your Handicap with Flow State Golf. And with that same text number, if you text the word flow, you can get that book for free. I'd love to share it with your listeners. You have such great golf enthusiasts listening. And so I said, Chris, I'm coming bearing gifts. I've got a free ebook for them. I've got a free masterclass that they can attend. And I just love to pour into people and help them, you know, be better in golf, be more focused, play their best golf, have more fun with it. It's such a great game. Let's enjoy it and not have that little inner critic beating ourselves up the whole time we're out there. You know, it's a game to enjoy for sure.
Yes, it is. All right, Debbie. So one more time before I let you go, remind our listeners, you have given us a lot of free gifts tonight. Remind everyone how they can get them.
All right. So for the ebook, you can just text FLOW to 727-339-0106. Text that, you'll get the download right away. And then for the upcoming free masterclass, Chris is going to put the link, because it's a little bit long for me to say. So he'll put a link in there for you. Just go to that link and click on that. It's this Wednesday evening, 8 p.m. Eastern time. And we're going to give you the 5 keys to unlocking flow state for your game. It's going to be incredibly powerful. And then coming up from there is my 5-day challenge, which is conquer your golf mind. Then we can really dig deep and shift that mindset and have you play in your best golf, like in 5 days. It's phenomenal and very powerful. Oh, and lastly, that same text number, text Solheim, to check out my Solheim Cup information. We'd love to have you join us, only if you're fun and you're ready to have a good time. I like positive, fun people. You know, if you're not, then don't look at that one. You know, beyond the fun people. So just text Solheim to that number and you can look at the information and put a deposit in to save your spot, because we will sell out.
Debbie, you're fantastic, my friend. I can't thank you enough for coming again a baker's dozen times tonight as part of the show. The show is what it is because of great guests like you that continue to come back and share your positivity and share your tips and all the wonderful things, all the free things that you're giving to our listeners tonight. I can't thank you enough for doing it. You're fantastic.
Well, thank you, Chris. I appreciate you and appreciate being here on the show. And everybody, just believe in yourself and stay positive. And have
there
fun.
You go. Take care, Debbie. All the best to you and your family. We'll catch up again soon.
Thank you, Chris. You have a great night.
You too, Debbie. That is the great Debbie O'Connell and all of the free, wonderful stuff that she shared with us tonight. And look, if you want to get on top of your game, you want to get on top of your mind and then get even better at your game, these are the ways that you're going to do it. She has given you so many avenues tonight for doing it. Flow state, and then getting into the conquer your golf mind that's also coming up. Those are two programs that are going to do you nothing but a world of good. Again, the number to text flow to 727-339-0106. That's going to get you the flow state ebook. And also, if you text to the same number, Solheim, and again, if you want to have a great time and you want to be at the Solheim Cup, there is nobody better on the planet to go do it with than Debbie O'Connell. So you're going to want to do that. So get into her Flow State webinar and then get into Conquer Your Golf Mind. I'm going to give that to my buddy. He better show up for that, because he certainly needs to get out of what he's in and get into a better state of mind and help his overall game. And I'll tell you what, actually, so do I. So these are great things for all of us to be a part of. And again, Golf Positive is Debbie's site. She is fantastic, and there's so many good things that you're going to learn from all the things that she gets to share. Check her out online and on YouTube. She's got some nice videos still available out on her YouTube channel as well. And is there any wonder why she is one of my favorite people on the planet? You know how I love positive people. And at the top of that Mount Rushmore is Debbie O'Connell. So looking forward to catching up with her again very soon. Coming up next on the tee is a guy that is breathing life back into some iconic golf brands like McGregor, Ram, Ben Hogan, Zebra, and Teardrop, and that is CEO Simon Millington. Before I get to Simon, I was talking with Eddie Dry, VP of Domestic Sales for Strixon Cleveland Golf, at the PGA Merchandise Show earlier this year, and I said, Eddie, I like your CBX full-face wedges. How can they help an average player like me play better? Here's what he had to say.
An average player, I use one, and I'm in some lies that you can't even believe. And I need all the help I can get. And the face is bigger, and the grooves go all the way up and all the way out to the toe. So if you hit it on the toe, you miss it, bam, there's a groove. So I like that. So I carry a 58.
There you have it, folks. Try the new CBX full-face wedges from Cleveland Golf. I want to tell you about something else I saw at the PGA Merchandise Show, and that's me and my golf. And how does a 45-day free trial to Arco sound? Well, me and my golf have partnered with Arcos and are offering 14 free sensors and a 45-day free trial to Arcos Caddy when you purchase any training aid on shop.meandmygolf.com. This is a limited-time offer, so don't miss out. Again, go online to shop.meandmygolf.com. With many years in the business, menswear brand Construct has finally launched its green golf collection, sustainably produced using renewable solar energy and recycled fabrics. Hit your best shot in their performance-enhancing polos, quarter zips, and bottoms, made with four-way stretch, quick dry, and UV50+ protection. From solids to bold, eye-catching designs, Construct Green is the perfect piece for making the best memories on the greens. And the best part? You can head to construct.com, and that's CONXSTRUCT.com, and use code Chris for 20% off the green collection today. Okay, now making his next On the Tee debut with me is Simon Millington. Simon is the CEO of several great golf brands like McGregor Golf, Ram, Ben Hogan, Zebra, Teardrop, plus Golf Alchemy, Woodworm Cricket, and S247 Group, and partner in Escapology, the number one escape room in the business. He's bringing some of the iconic brands back to life, which I am so thankful for, and I'm excited that I get to talk with him tonight here on Next on the Tee. Hey, Simon, thanks for coming on the show.
All right, thanks for having me, Chris.
Simon, like I say, you are breathing new life into several iconic golf brands that have got a rich history in our game, but we haven't heard about some of them in a while, and I want to start with you tonight about McGregor Golf, because I'm a huge Jack Nicklaus fan, and McGregor was the brand he played, so it was the brand I played as a kid. Talk to us about bringing McGregor Golf back to life.
Yeah, I mean, we've started with McGregor a couple of years ago, and essentially, you know, what we try and do with our golf ranges is we'll have everything from, you know, we love to get the people starting the game and the people playing, you know, throughout their career. So we started with sort of some game improvement products. Last year, we rolled out a high-end forged iron, foam-filled forged iron, the MT86 and the MT86 Oversized, you know, which was very well received. We won Silver and Gold Digest, sort of first out, which was really pleasing, and we got fantastic feedback from, you know, all the media, all the testing, and indeed players like Ian Woosnam, who had a set and loved him and put him straight in his bag. So a Masters champion thrown in.
So, Simon, talk about the MT86 irons. And I'm curious, does 86 have significance with Jack's win at the 86 Masters?
Yeah, you got it. It does, yeah, for sure. So there's a bit of the story behind that. You know, if you look at the MT86 iron, you know it's McGregor. It has that MT look, but with a modern-day feel. So we were very lucky. We had for 18 months, Simon, we had Austin Rollinson. Now, Austin was the head of Odyssey for 26 years, and he's now with Scotty Cameron. But in that in-between period, we had him redo the Matt McGregor line and to redo the Zebra putter line, and also the Teardrop putter line, which will launch next year. So we got one of the top designers in the world to come in and work alongside the best factories in the world to really produce a product that was, you know, as good as anything out there. And, you know, we were very keen on that. And kind of the story behind the original iron is a great friend of mine, a golf professional by the name of Jerry Holly, gave me, when I bought McGregor, he gave me this MT8, or so this MT1 iron, sort of a bit of a butter knife, but he polished it all up and gave it to me when we bought the brand. And I was sitting with Austin, we were talking about design, and this thing was just looking there in the background. I said, we should really incorporate that into the design. So that was how the original design came, of this thing just sitting there shining and looking at me. So we really tried to take the heritage of the brand. So if somebody picked it up, they said, they'd know looking at it was a McGregor, but to put all the latest technology in. So it, you know, like, we genuinely believe it's as good as anything out there.
The wedges and putters look great to me as well when I was checking them out online, and they're in a price range too that we can all afford. Talk about those.
Yeah. So, I mean, throughout our product range, we work with some of the best designers in the world. I say Austin Rollinson, one, Larry Tang, you know, the designer of the two ball putter with Callaway, has been working with us as well on some of our new ranges. So really some of the best designers in the world. With McGregor, we have a direct to consumer business. So, you know, when you, people will look on there and say, wow, how the price is so low when you look at it, but the product looks so great. Well, the product is great. You know, we really put a lot of focus and energy into that. And, you know, we're great believers. We're custodians of the brand. So we really have to do a great job to compete with the big guys, so that when people get, you know, it's no good. It's one thing us telling everybody that, hey, look, we've made this great product and marketing that, but it actually has to perform. And particularly in this day and age where there's so many testing websites and every magazine, every, you know, social media, etc., that people are testing them, and you very quickly get found out if you're just making things up. So, you know, we work really, really hard, really tirelessly to get the product right. We then sell it direct to the consumer, and so, you know, you can expect a product that, you know, far out exceeds anything else at that sort of price point. That's really, you know, what we aim for, is to be sort of 50% of the price of the, you know, the major manufacturers. You see them in store.
You've got the Ram product line back too, and I remember Tom Watson, Nick Price, Seve playing Ram clubs back in the day. My father had a set of Ram irons that I inherited when I started playing the game. More recently, I've seen Ram as an entry level kind of iron set, but now you've got the FX77 model. Talk about what's new from Ram.
Yeah, so again, you know, there was certainly, it ended up Ram being in, you know, some sports retailers, and gradually, you know, that used it a bit more of entry level. Again, with Ram, we follow the similar model where we have package sets, and we're very unashamedly happy to sell package sets. You know, whereas the industry may not always want to, you know, think that's a good part of the industry, it's really, we see it as really important to do fantastic package sets to get people playing the game, whether it's a junior, you know, a teenager, an adult, or a senior, you know, ladies, whatever they want, we try and pride ourselves on having the best of it at that sort of price point. And then, so again, with that, we've started to roll out, you know, really good products in woods, the FX77 irons, which has been a fantastic seller, again, reviewed fantastically this year. Larry Tang, who I mentioned earlier, you know, the designer of the two ball, has worked on a new iron that will be launched in the new year. So, you know, we've really got, again, you know, we're trying to really elevate the brands, as we do with all of our brands, to have a product for every golfer within them. And, you know, sometimes there's different, you know, shaft makeups or grips or whatever. So, you know, there'll be very different pricing, but, you know, we also, you know, we're based in the United States. We have operations, you know, we're based in Henderson, Nevada, and Charlotte, North Carolina. We assemble clubs in the United States. You know, we do our sort of our technology, our design in the United States. You know, we're very committed to doing a really good job on all of these brands.
Speaking of reviews, Simon, I read Golf Monthly, and they said the FX77s might be the best value iron on the market. They say it has a tight dispersion pattern, which goodness knows we all need for better consistency in shot making. And testing with other high-end brands showed that they're very close in performance, yeah, but hundreds of dollars cheaper, as you just pointed out. In a world where everything seems to be more expensive nowadays, for those of us that are in the market for new irons, can I get the FX77s play just as well as the more expensive brands, but I don't have to break my bank account?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I mean, it's very logical when you think about our business model of being a direct-to-consumer business. If you think about, for instance, you know, the major brands, you know, they have, you know, they're huge behemoth companies with lots of overhead, but they have sales reps. The sales reps, you know, and sales managers, then they have to go into the retail. Now, obviously, all of these are adding price, you know, ultimately you pay for the, there's a retailer margin, there's their margins, there's paying sales reps. With us, by being direct to consumer, it's not an inferior product that, you know, is half the price. It's just the nature of the way we're selling that product. And, you know, I talked about this today with somebody, and you know, somebody said, well, you know, if we put two things together, no matter what those things are, if one's $100 and one's $200, we automatically perceive the $200 one to be better. But in terms of the way this sort of modern world is, when you're going direct to consumer and cutting out those various layers, it isn't like that. In certainly in golf equipment today, you know, there's a lot of fantastic golf clubs out there that are going direct to the consumer, some of which are just using sort of regular heads that you could find in any sort of factory in China. What we're doing is we are using the best designers, you know, throughout history, you know, some of the greatest designers in history, together with some of the greatest factories that make some of the biggest names. You know, I won't necessarily go into all the names, but the top names in golf are being made in the same factories that we're making our top end products in. So you are getting a quality product, just in a different way of it being delivered to you.
So let's take that a step further in the direct to consumer market, because another brand that you're breathing new life into is Ben Hogan Golf. And I loved what they were doing with their clubs. Terry Kaler, Scott White, and the Ben Hogan brand have been sponsors of the show for years early on. But the brand has struggled to stay afloat over several iterations over that time. And I see you're attempting to relaunch them next month. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is literally, you know, the news is just breaking. I think you're the second person I've told in regards to this. So the Ben Hogan brand, it's obviously had a fantastic history in terms of the quality of the product. The forged irons, you know, are as good as anything you'll ever see out there. And the reputation that Mr. Hogan started is still intact in terms of product. Nothing's ever changed with that. Now, it has had a checkered history in over the years, where it sort of got sold by various people. It got sold to AMF. It got sold to Spalding. It got sold to Callaway. And latterly, it got bought by Perry Ellis, obviously, as you'll know, as a huge clothing company. Kind of a logical sale in some ways. You know, people say, well, why would a clothing company buy the Ben Hogan company? They bought it from Callaway. They are the licensee for Callaway clothing. So there was already a sort of a relationship there. And they do Ben Hogan clothing, but they, you know, they're mindful of the fact that they're not a golf club company. So subsequent to that, they've had a couple of licensees that have actually created great product and actually done a good job. The latter you mentioned, Scott White, fantastic man, fantastic job he did with Ben Hogan. And unfortunately, the private equity backer of him was a high risk, high reward private equity firm. That COVID, whilst the golf business fared very well in COVID, their other investments didn't, and they actually ended up going out of business. So the Ben Hogan sort of licensee, you know, was taken out of business alongside that a year ago. So we've picked up that mantle, you know, and it's quite a bit different for us, you know, where people have tried to set up that company as a standalone, you know, it's obviously tougher. We already have the infrastructure. We have great volumes in clubs and great relationships with factories that we can leverage. So what you can really expect to see over the next coming months with Ben Hogan is that you'll expect to see, you know, the fantastic golf clubs. Again, we've got some of the top designers working on new designs on that. Again, similar direct-to-consumer model for the Ben Hogan company. So that, you know, you're going to be able to, you know, there's so much love for that brand. You know, we're very mindful that we've got to follow Mr. Hogan's legacy in terms of what we do with it. But at the same time, modernizing some of the technology, you know, there's a lot of focus around, you know, having a great blade, which is fantastic. And we will always continue to do that. But it's a small market there, obviously, you know, of people who want to put themselves through that.
So let's switch gears and talk a little bit about putters. You mentioned Zebra and Teardrop a little while ago, a couple of brands we're all familiar with. Zebra, maybe the original mallet style putter. I remember Raymond Floyd using one for years. It seemed like he made every putt he looked at using one, which is why he was playing well and on Ryder Cups well into his 50s. But talk about not only bringing back that brand, but how great the new putters perform.
Yeah, they do. And I mean, you mentioned Ray Floyd, and of course, Nick Price famously with his Open Championship win was using a Zebra. Yeah. So again, you know, I mentioned it earlier, Austie Rollinson from being head of Odyssey came and we gave him this, you know, here's this iconic brand. We've got to do something fantastic with this to get it back. You know, it's no good just going to somewhere and putting Zebra on the bottom of it and expecting everybody to think that that's, you know, the same product. So we sort of took, if you like, the original version, the mallet that would be so famous. We took that and said, right, look, this is kind of the shape, that look, you know, that again, as we talked about McGregor, we want people to know when they pick this up, it's a Zebra putter, but we've got to modernize it. So, you know, it was around an 18-month process to get this right. And you know, Austie is so amazing. I can't speak highly enough of him. But we kind of took it apart. Whereas, you know, so now it has adjustable weight. It has an aluminum insert, you know, milled face. The MOI is fantastic. Everything, every part of that putter is absolutely the top level that we could do. And again, you know, we put in, there was four models in there from a blade, you know, a couple of other mallets that just add to the range. But again, you pick it up, you'll know it's a Zebra. You look at it in a store, you'll immediately know it's a Zebra. So we've kept the same colored stripes, the same finish. And, you know, the feedback we get from the customers, which is fantastic, is that, you know, you put it down, nothing lines up like a Zebra. And I'm sure in some of the reviews you've seen in the magazines, that's one of the things they say, nothing lines up like a Zebra. So, you know, we're very proud of that range. And it's all down to Austie, I have to tell you, it's all down to Austie. But, you know, no longer are the adjustable washers under the sole. You know, we have adjustable weights in there, and it's a really product that we're very, very proud of.
Is Teardrop back as well? And are we going to see the same sort of rounded putter face?
Yeah, you will. Teardrop will relaunch at the PGA show in January. You will see it'll be a subtle round face. So it won't be as pronounced as the original one, but this is going to be a very, very high end milled putter. It's going to be a very, very exciting product to launch that one. We've been testing the performance. You know, some of the characteristics that you would expect with a Teardrop is that top spin got on the ball, gets on the ball quicker. So, you know, obviously a ball going into the hole with top spin, less skidding, you know, more control. There's so many positives that brings together with, you know, the launch. If you come in a bit steeper, that, you know, the ball will launch at the right angle. So, you know, the benefits of that roll face technology are there, but more subtly than perhaps the original ones.
Talk about what Golf Alchemy is and the very cool customizations that you can do for us on our club.
Yeah, so Golf Alchemy is actually a British-based company, and they are the best personalization company in the world. I mean, we do work for all of the major brands. I mean, it is incredibly skilled. It's until you actually see it, it's kind of impossible to understand how good it is when you look at it close up. So from engraving or etching or snapshot, which is another product we do, so we can put pictures on there. We can put logos on there. They won't wear off. You know, we have to have some specifications on the clubs in terms of the, you know, the amount of microns of the surface, so it won't rust and stuff like that. But it's quite a remarkable business. There's nobody else out there like it that does anything like it. So we're very proud to be involved with that.
Simon, you mentioned the PGA Merchandise Show a moment ago. Are we going to see all these brands on display at the Merchandise Show in January?
You will. We're trying to figure out how we're going to put them all on there today. So that was our today's job, of trying to work out how the booth's going to look. But you will. They will be on the booth this year, yeah, for sure.
Simon, before I let you go, how can our listeners who want to get reacquainted with these brands and follow them and you and everything that you guys are doing and bringing back to the table, how can they do it online and on social media?
Yeah, I mean, if you go and look by brand, all their brands have their own websites. So we have zebragolf.com, mcgregorgolf.com, ramgolf.com, as you would expect. Benhogangolf.com will launch in around a month's time. And then Teardrop will be the back end of this year. But yeah, so all the social assets, if you go on Instagram or Facebook or whatever, you can see everything on there. So if you just have a little search, you'll find us everywhere.
Well, Simon, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your very busy schedule to come and be a part of the show tonight. This is all very exciting news for my listeners and for myself. I love these brands, the brands I grew up with, the brands, the players that I idolized growing up. I'm so happy to see that they are coming back and coming back strong. I hope this is the first of many visits. You'll come and update us on all the great things that you are doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. Thank you, Chris.
Take care, Simon. All the best to you and your family. I'll catch up soon.
And you. Bye-bye.
That is Simon Millington. How exciting is all of this about these iconic brands that are coming back to life and giving us performance at a reasonable price to get back the brands that, you know, my hero Jack Nicklaus played, Tom Watson, Nick Price, Ray Floyd, Seve, the list goes on and on. To draw a McGregor or a Ram iron from your golf bag starts you off with confidence. Well, I just love the idea that that is now possible again. If you've played them or you've tested them, please let me know. Send me an email. If you've tested any of these new brands or these brands that have been relaunched, send me an email to chris@nextonthetee.net. Shoot me a comment on Twitter or Instagram @CTMascaro. I'm looking over at my Jack Nicklaus Golden Bear golf bag here in the studio. To be out with that and have McGregor irons in there along with a Zebra putter, you kidding me? I'll be taking all the cash. If they brought the tourney golf ball back, boy, that would just be over the top. But kudos to Simon and his team. Really looking forward to catching up with him again, staying up to date with the brands, and then seeing them at the PGA Merchandise Show in January. Coming up next is going to be European Senior Tour Pro and the winner of the 2017 and 2018 Senior Italian Open, and that is Clark Dennis. Before I get to Clark, I want to remind you about our friends over at Squares Golf. And folks, do you sway and you're off balance in your golf swing? You know what? It could be your shoes. A golf shoe needs structure to provide stability and reduce sway. How can you tell if your shoes lack structure and are hurting your game? If you can hold your shoes by the toe and heel and twist it, toss it. Squares was designed for the perfect balance of structure and comfort. Isn't it time you tried Squares? Try the new Speed Bolt at squares.com. That's squairz.com. Looking for the ultimate Myrtle Beach golf experience? Well, it's only a click away. Check out the two-play special at two of America's most awarded public golf courses, Caledonia Golf and Fish Club and True Blue Golf Club. They are low country masterpieces featuring two iconic Mike Strantz designs. Play these two incredible courses for one great price. Visit CaledoniaGolfAndFishClub.com to learn more about the two-play special and book your tee time today. Again, that's CaledoniaGolfAndFishClub.com. All right, now next on the tee with me is Clark Dennis. Clark has played on the Korn Ferry Tour, the PGA Tour, and is now out there on the Senior European Tour. He's from Houston, Texas, played his college golf first at the University of Arkansas and then at SMU, where he had the low tournament score during the 1984-85 season with a 221 at the Hal Sutton Invitational. The team set a record in winning that tournament. Their team score was 896. He turned pro in 1986 and has 8 professional wins to his credit so far, including winning the 1993 Bakersfield Open on the Korn Ferry Tour, 5 wins over there on the European Senior Tour, including winning the Senior Italian Open in back-to-back years of 2017 and 18. He also won the Dutch Masters in 2017 and then the John Jacobs Trophy for the European Senior Tour Order of Merit. Won a couple of state opens here in the U.S. at the 1988 Nevada State Open and the 1992 Texas Open. Finished tied for sixth in the 1994 U.S. Open at Oakmont. And I couldn't be more thrilled to have him with me tonight here on Next on the Tee. Hey, Clark, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, Chris, nice to be on.
Clark, I saw you posted a picture on Instagram about it being baseball time in Texas, followed by Let's Go Rangers. I'm guessing you were pretty glued to the TV a little earlier tonight. Being from Houston, tell me about the Rangers.
No, well, actually, I was born in Houston, but I've lived in Fort Worth since I was 10. So I'm a Fort Worth guy. I grew up at Colonial Country Club. I have been a long-suffering Rangers fan. That was my first love sport. It was baseball. And going to the old stadium, not the ballpark in Arlington. Going to the old stadium, not the ballpark, and then the ballpark, and now we've got Globe Life Field. It's a fantastic experience at Globe Life, and I got three boys. They're all fans. My son Caddy's on the PGA Tour for Sam Stevens, and we were talking. He's in Japan right now, and we were on the phone. My other son Philip was here at the house, and we were all very nervous with that last inning. So up two games, it's looking good, but you know, the Astros are a great team, so it's not over yet.
And hey, I'm a big Red Sox and Pirates fan. You guys signed Nate Eovaldi away from the Red Sox. That certainly has worked out well for the Rangers.
Yeah, he was big game Nate tonight. I mean, he, you know, gave up a couple of home runs, but he's been solid, especially in the playoffs. So yeah, that was a good signing. Yeah, it's a good young team. You know, we got some veterans. We got some really good young players like Evan Carter, who's been exciting. He's only been up for about a month, and he's been electric since he's been up. So it's been fun to watch.
So what's your prediction for the rest of the ALCS, the Rangers in how many games?
I'm saying the Rangers in six. I think the Astros are going to probably sneak one here in Arlington, but I think we win in six.
All right, let's talk some golf. And I want to go back to your college days, Clark. How did the University of Houston or the University of Texas let a guy like you get away to the University of Arkansas?
Well, you know, we had Steve Loy was the coach who ended up being Mickelson's agent later on with Arizona State as coach. And Steve was a great recruiter, you know, and I just enjoyed Fayetteville. It was a great place. I didn't stay there very long, but I really enjoyed my time there. You know, being teammates with John Daly, and we had Jim McGovern. We had Mike Schwartz. We had a lot of guys that ended up playing the tour. We kind of underperformed as a team, but it was a great experience to be in Fayetteville, and I loved my time there.
So as you mentioned, your teammates with John Daly. What was it like teaming up with him back then?
Well, it's about what you would imagine. John is one of the nicest guys you'd ever meet. He's generous. He's kind. He'd do anything for you. But, you know, he's had his demons, as we all know. And, you know, he had them in college and in junior golf. I played with him in junior golf, too. And you know, hopefully John will get everything sorted out. He seems to be doing better. I saw him last week. I played in the Champions Tournament in Jacksonville and saw him last week in Jacksonville and the Furyk and Friends. And, you know, he looks good and he looks better. You know, he's a character. There's a reason why he's the main draw on the Champions Tour, even though he's not the best player anymore.
So you leave Arkansas and you go to SMU, and the Mustangs have a pretty rich golf history with a ton of great players. I mean, Payne Stewart, Hank Keeney, Colt Knost, Bryson DeChambeau, Henry Higgs, to name just a few. Talk to me about playing there and maybe some of your favorite memories from your time at SMU.
Yeah, really. My wife also got her master's at SMU, you know, obviously being from Fort Worth, it was close to home. So that was kind of the reason I came back, you know, be a little, wasn't my wife at the time, be a little closer to my girlfriend, who's now my wife for 33 years. So, you know, you do things like that when you're young, but I enjoyed SMU as well. You know, Dallas is a great city, and I had good teammates there too. I met some lifelong friends, Mario De La Cavada there and Russell Beersdorf, and, you know, people who have been friends for a long time.
Clark, Hal Sutton is a wonderful friend of the show. He's actually going to be joining me again next week. And you and the SMU team had a great performance in the Hal Sutton Invitational back in the 84-85 season. What do you remember about that week?
I do remember that week. You know, it's a long time ago. but I do remember playing very well that week. and we won as a team, and I won the individual title. And I remember really looking up to Hal, and of course, I got to play many, many times with Hal subsequently on the tour. And in fact, you mentioned that U.S. Open, I finished tied sixth at Oakland. When I qualified for that U.S. Open, I actually played with Hal in the sectionals that U.S. Open qualified for. Hal's a great guy. I've known Hal since probably about then. And, you know, and a good friend of mine now is the coach at Centenary, Emlyn Aubrey. He's been the coach there for a few years. He played on the tour with me. And so it kind of came full circle. You know, Emlyn's there at Centenary. They still, I think, have that tournament. And, you know, it was a fun week. You know, it's always good to win, and college was a great experience. I really enjoyed it.
Mark, you turned pro in 86 and got your first win at the 1993 Nike Bakersfield Open, almost 30 years ago to the day of this show, and you get that victory. You win it in a playoff over Jim Furyk and Sonny Skinner. You guys set the tournament record at 14 under. You remember that week and then going out and beating Furyk and Skinner in the playoff?
I do, because Sonny and I were pretty close friends, and Jim was a rookie, and nobody really knew him. Sonny and I went to the first tee of the playoff. It was the 18th, which was a par five, and I was the first to hit, and I hit. Sonny was the second to hit, and he hit, and then Jim hit, and we had never seen him play because he'd only been out there maybe half a year. And Sonny and I looked at each other, and I said, "Hey, this guy tie us," and we just kind of laughed. And you know, of course, 70 million. Career money later, I think he was all right. You know, Jim's a great guy, and I've played a lot with him over the years too. And like I said, I played in his tournament in Jacksonville last week on the Champions Tour. He did a great job there and supports a lot of great charities there in Jacksonville.
That 1993 season on what was then the Nike Tour had so many great players, and some really great friends of this show were out there that year with you guys, like Owen Brown and Dave Stockton Jr., Stan Utley, obviously you, Jim Furyk, plus Tommy Tolles and Ron Streck. You guys all won that season. That's a pretty tough competition week in and week out on the Nike Tour.
Yeah, there was some really good players back then. It was obviously the talent level is really deep right now. I mean, we were pretty good too. I mean, we our equipment was different. We didn't hit it as far. There was a lot of good players on that Nike Tour there in the early 90s. A lot of major winners. Lee Jansen was playing. No, I mean, I think it was 90 or 91, Tom Lehman played out there. I mean, there were so many great players that played that Nike Tour in the early 90s. You had to play to win.
I want to talk to you about that 1994 U.S. Open where you tied for sixth, played at Oakmont. It was a very special U.S. Open because it was Mr. Palmer's final U.S. Open appearance right there in his backyard. Did you get to be around him, meet him, talk to him at all that week?
Mr. Palmer was a great guy. He was always very gracious, and he would talk to anybody. And actually, when he was coming up 18, I was on 10 on the Friday. And so we kind of stopped and watched. I was playing with Harry Taylor, and I forget who else, somebody else. We kind of stopped and watched him come up 18 because it was such an iconic moment. So I was actually able to watch him hit his last shot into 18, and then we went on and played our hole. But that was a great experience to be there for his last U.S. Open, you know, in his hometown.
You were in the mix that year from the opening round. You shoot an even par 71. You're on the first page of the leaderboard with guys like Tom Watson, Jack Nicklaus, Ernie Els, Hal Irwin, a huge list of tour legends. What was it like for you to see your name amongst theirs?
Well, that was my first time really having, you know, I'd played in a couple of U.S. Opens before that, and I had played okay in 89, finished middle of the pack, made the cut to the middle of the pack. That was my first time to be in contention. And that was, you know, it was quite jarring. And Oakmont, as you know, is an extremely difficult golf course. But my ball striking that week was phenomenal. I mean, I could not have hit it any better. It was very stress-free. I just wasn't at the time really a very good putter. But, you know, and those greens will expose any deficiencies in putting, obviously. And, you know, I just had a great week ball striking. It was easy. You know, I could have easily won that tournament with just even average putting. But, you know, it was a great experience to be there, to come up 18, playing with Fred Couples the last day. Huge ovation. I hit it in about 8 feet on the last hole. I almost birdied the last three holes. Had a chance on all of them. But, you know, it wasn't to be. And that was kind of my last chance. But, you know, you never, you, when I was 28 at the time, and I thought, oh, I'll have plenty of other chances at this. But, you know, with golf, you just never know. But fortunately, I've had a good end of my career, being able to play after I'm 50, and I've done well and enjoyed it. So I have no complaints.
So let's fast forward to your point about playing really well. You win the Senior Italian Open in back-to-back years in 2017 and 18, both times in a playoff. What do you remember about that tournament, and what is it about it that brings out the best in you?
Well, the course I won on was up near Venice, Villa Verde Resort, which is a beautiful place up near near the Dolomite Mountains. And you know, I beat Peter Fowler, who's a great player, in a playoff. I made about a 20-footer the first year. And then I also won in a playoff the next year, Rafael Gomez. And, you know, it was just a course that fit me well. And we don't play there anymore. I'm going to Italy next week for the Senior Italian Open. We're playing down in Puglia. A great course down there as well, but it's, you know, we're starting to rotate that tournament. So Italy's a great place. It's beautiful. The food's amazing. You know, I've just enjoyed my time in Europe. I played very little as a young player there, only a few times in Europe, but I've had good success over there. And I've, you know, my family's been able to go over there with me, and it's just been a great experience for me to play the Legends Tour over there.
Clark, just a couple more before I let you go. And you won the Dutch Masters that season as well. And when the season's over, there you are sitting on top of the Order of Merit. That had to be a tremendous feeling and a huge accomplishment.
It was. You know, I was the first American, still the only American to ever win the Order of Merit over there. We had a lot of great players. You know, Michael Campbell, U.S. Open champion. Paul McGinley, Ryder Cup captain. Ian Woosdom plays. We have, you know, multiple 14 or 15 Ryder Cup players that play on a regular basis, several major winners that play on a regular basis. So our tour is very strong. You know, the Champions Tour is, I've played in about 40 Champions Tour events in my career since I've been 50. So I've gotten in some over here, but it's a tough thing to crack. And so if you don't, if you're not playing over here, you got to find somewhere to play. And I think that's the next best option. Tournaments are great. We go to fantastic places. Like, we're going to Mauritius here at the end of the year. We're playing in Vietnam. In Spain next week, and then Italy next week, and then we go on to Spain. So, you know, the venues are awesome, and, you know, purses are getting better. So the Legends Tour is on the rise, and I hope, you know, I hope it continues to go forward, because there's more room in senior golf than just one tour. And I see be that second tour.
In 2019, you win for the fifth time, this time at the Winston Golf Senior Open. You did so coming from six shots back on the final day, thanks to a final round 63. Talk about making that charge.
Yeah, you know, I had my youngest son, Philip, on the bag that week, and Sunday was my wife and I's, I think, 29th wedding anniversary. And so it was kind of a special day. I birdied, I think, six of my last seven holes, shot 30 on the back, and beat Bernard Langer and Jose Maria Olazabal. Olazabal was winning the tournament most of the day. And, you know, I kind of came in and stole it from him. So it was a really neat experience to kind of run down those two legends of the game and be able to win that tournament.
Clark, let our listeners know, how can they stay up to date with all the great things you're doing and follow you, whether it's online or it's on social media?
Well, you know, you can go to Legends Tour, thelegendstour.com. It's on the European Tour website. It's the senior tour of the European Tour. So you can go to that and watch the progress over there and see the tournaments. You can look at me on Twitter at C Dennis Golf, Twitter and Instagram, same thing. And, you know, follow. I think, you know, I think they will be pleasantly surprised to see the names and scores that are put up on the Legends Tour. And I hope everybody watches it.
Well, Clark, it sure has been great having you as part of this show tonight. I hope it's the first of many visits you'll do with us, and come back, share more of your stories and your insights with us, and keep us up to date with what's going on the European Senior Tour. It's, to your point, a lot of great players over there and a lot of great golf, and you are certainly a big part of that. I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your night to come and be a part of the show.
Absolutely. I've enjoyed being on, and I'll talk baseball anytime you want to.
We'll do more of that next time around. I look forward to it. Maybe you'll come back and talk to us when the Rangers have won the World Series. That would be a lot of fun.
I tell you, that would be a dream. I would love that.
Clark, take care, my friend. All the best to you and your family. I look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Thank you, Chris. Good to be on with you.
Thank you, Clark. That is Clark Dennis. You can keep track of him over on the European Senior Tour. You can find them online at legendstour.com. You can follow him on Instagram and Twitter at CDennisGolf. He's a lot of fun to talk to, and I'm rooting for his Rangers. With the final four teams available, the Rangers are the ones I'm hooking my wagon to because of Nate Eovaldi. But it was certainly a lot of fun getting to spend some time with Clark. He's had a wonderful career to this point. I'm rooting really hard for him to make it a third senior Italian Open championship. Hopefully we'll find that next week. And then if and when the Rangers win the World Series, I will certainly be reaching back out to him and we'll talk all about it. I'm sure he'll be excited to do that. And I hope it's also carrying a third senior Italian Open championship as well. So looking forward to catching up with him again soon. Coming up next is going to be Steve Fluke. Steve is the co-founder and chief marketing officer for Power to Golf. Before I get to Steve, and that is Andy Traynor. Before I get to Andy, I want to remind you about 2Under, men's performance wear. They're the unofficial underwear of the PGA and the 2020 Ryder Cup team. Ricky Fowler is their global ambassador, and over 50 other PGA, Korn Ferry, and Champions Tour players wear them. Just to mention a few, like David Toms, Jerry Kelly, Justin Thomas, William McGirt, Scott McCarron, and Chris DeMarco. The Joey Pouch technology provides the ultimate male asset management, delivering maximum comfort from the tee box to the boardroom to the bedroom. Use code NEXT20 to save 20% off your order at 2under.com. That's the number 2UNDR.com. 2Under, performance in your pants. And you walk a lot of miles in life and on the course, so make sure you're walking in the right shoes. Skoni changes the game with an affordable line of the most comfortable, versatile, slip-on golf shoes that can be worn anywhere. They're made with breathable microfiber fabric, spikeless treads, and an adjustable lace lock. And they're easy to clean, too, so spend less time changing shoes and more time living in them. Visit skoni.com and use code NXTONT20, so next on T20, at checkout for 20% off. That's skoni.com, SKONI.com. They're also available at golf specialty retailers and green grass pro shops nationwide.
Relax. Easy now. Find your happy place. It's all in the hips. Just tap it in.
Yes!
Find the latest clubs and apparel at golf's happy place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
Okay, now making his next On the Tee debut with me is Simon Millington. Simon is the CEO of several great golf brands like McGregor Golf, Ram, Ben Hogan, Zebra, Teardrop, plus Golf Alchemy, Woodworm Cricket, and S247 Group, and partner in Escapology, the number one escape room in the business. He's bringing some of the iconic brands back to life, which I am so thankful for, and I'm excited that I get to talk with him tonight here on Next on the Tee. Hey, Simon, thanks for coming on the show.
It's great to be here and great to follow the great Dennis Clark. What a player he is, huh?
Indeed, 100%. Yeah. So, Steve, Power to Golf, the club is an amazing invention. Let's go back to the beginning with Roy Taylor. Talk about who he is.
Well, Roy, the retired aerospace engineer from Lockheed, as you mentioned, and he retired and then... shortly after that, he started working in his garage, and then I met up with him not too much longer after that, and he needed to have some with a golf background, which I have, being a former club pro for many years and so forth in the business and such, and we got together, and we built out this club, and it was an R&D company for several years. And then we launched it a few years back, and now we moved into mass production. And it's a swing-free golf club, an automatic club, if you will. Hits golf shots from 25 up to 225 yards. You can fade or draw the ball. And so this, a wedge and a putter, can play any course in the world.
So let's talk about that a little bit further. So everyone is thinking, oh, my, how do I get a hold of this club? But talk about how it works.
Well, it's powder actuated, so basically gunpowder, and then it's propelled by power strip, if you will, and you insert it into the club and set your yardage. You address the ball just like a standard golf club, but instead of swinging, you push a button that is located on the grip, and that initiates the shot. and the insert or the striker comes out 2 inches and sends it down the fairway and onto the green.
So talk about the different yardages. How do you dial up the yardage you need to hit the ball?
Well, it's calibrated at sea level. So it's plus or minus about 1%. So it's very accurate. And you just set the range control lever by the leading edge, lining up to the desired distance. And like I said, line it up just like a regular golf club and push the button. And the insert comes out 2 inches and hits the ball. And again, it's still, so there's still plenty of golf to it. You have to, you know, still allow for the wind and the roll and so forth. And really was designed for those who love the game, but unfortunately can no longer swing a golf club, or if they try, they're in pain. So be it someone with bad back or hips or shoulders, they've got plenty of life left, but the golf swing, that's not going to happen anymore for them. So they just slide right over to power. They don't miss a beat, and they keep playing out golf courses throughout the world. At this point, we have 9 countries that we serve now, and they set up and enjoy the game just like they've always had in the past.
You mentioned you can shape shots, which I find absolutely amazing. Talk about how you can hit a hook, a fade, hit it low, hit it high. It's amazing.
Sure. Well, you hit it low and high. That's just putting the hands in front of the club head or the hands behind the club head at address. As far as the fade and draw, it's just the shaft angle. So a more of an upright shaft angle in relation to the ground, you're going to hit a fade. And a flatter shaft angle, you're going to angle, you'll hit the draw. So you can go from 5 to 30 yards either way. Or if you just want to hit a straight shot, if the top of the club head is level to the ground, you're going to hit a straight shot down the pipe.
What about in between yardages? If I want to hit it 50 yards, 85 yards, something that's in between what's on the dial, how do you play around and learn how to get those in between yardages?
Well, let's say you have 65-yard shot, you place it somewhere between the mark that's 150 and 175 on the club. And if you're not going to be on the green, you're going to be very close to the green. So it's very, very accurate, plus or minus about 1%, and it's calibrated at sea level. So it's fairly easy to set that up. But again, there's still a lot of game to it because you still have to allow if the ground is soft or hard, or whether you have a headwind or a tailwind, you have to allow all that into the shot making. But the bottom line is everybody golfs now. We've removed all the barriers to the game. So whether it's a stroke survivor or some with a chronic bad back or hip or shoulder, or they're just kind of getting into the game before they get discouraged and quit before they even really get into the game. This is a good starting point for beginners as well.
And you can use the club right in the rough too, correct?
Oh yeah. Right through the rough, like a hot knife through butter. Not a problem.
So yeah. You mentioned you need other clubs too, right? You're still going to need to chip and putt from around the green, but it seems like even there are times when you could use this club to kind of bump and run it if you wanted to.
Yeah, you could do that. But you know, if your approach shot, if you're not on the green, you're going to be within 5 or 10 yards. So it's really just a short pitch or a chip to finish up the hole, and then of course putting it in. Again, still a lot of game there, and you know, we're not set up to compete against the proper game of golf, but it's like a safety net or for the beginners, it's like training wheels for golf to kind of get them started. Cause as a former, you know, club professional, we'd get a lot of folks that come in and they'd see it on TV. They're excited and they realize this isn't quite that easy and they get discouraged. So I think it's used in many cases as a great starting point as they're kind of getting used to the game and getting used to the swing and so forth, as a good starting point as well.
I watched a YouTube video where Rick Shields tested the club out, and the distances that he was dialing up were pretty spot on to what was on that dial. And I know you said this is for the person who can't swing anymore, whether it's through injury, arthritis, whatever it is. But I got to tell you, It looked like he was having a lot of fun with the club. It looked like a lot of fun to use. It's not a cheap club that you can go out there and just buy. But I tell you what, if you and your buddies all had one and went out there and tried to play a game of skill using that club, it seems like it would be a really fun thing to do.
Yeah, you know, when we go out, normally the front nine all play the power golf, or excuse me, the conventional standard golf, and I'll come in, on the back nine, I'll come in playing power golf. And there's a lot of game to it. It's a lot of fun. And I know a lot of the golf entertainment venues are starting to bring it into their facilities for, again, those who really don't golf, but they're there to have some fun and they want to be able to participate as well. So even if you're a great golfer, it's a fun experience. You know, but it's amazing. It really, put focus on, as I always stressed when I was on the lesson tee, how important it is to find the fairway. And it is really amazing when you hit 14 out of 14 fairways. When I play the whole, 18 with the power club, how easy the game really is if you're in the fairway every time.
Indeed. And like I say, the club will run you about what a new set of golf clubs would cost. But for the person who can't swing any longer, buying this instead of a new set of clubs and adding it to your bag along with a couple of wedges and a putter seems like a pretty reasonable thing to do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. A full set of clubs. You know, even a basic set's going to cost you a couple of grand. So this is $1,000. But this, a wedge and a putter, there's your full set. We have a lot of folks buying them for their dads, made aged out of the game, or their mothers, and or friends. And we have a lot of husbands buying it for their spouse because maybe golf was never their thing, and now they can join in on the fun as well. So there's a lot of different applications for golf courses. They're purchasing it to help retain their members who are aging out of the game, and instead of losing the member, they slide them right over to power, and they're able to have some fun and maintain their membership and stay in the game. And that's what it's all about.
So, Steve, for our adaptive golf listeners or my cheating buddies who want to get their hands on one of these things, how can they do it? How can they go online and get a new Power to Golf golf club?
It's real simple. Power2golf.com. And if we receive the order by 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, it gets shipped out same day. Now, it'll be shipped out next day. So we've had to increase our inventory to keep up with the demand, because a lot of people are deciding if it's between this or not golfing anymore, I'm going power, you know. And that's it's good to be part of it. It's like we get a lot of the feedback of people. Spouses usually saying, "My, you know, I'm so happy my husband's able to golf again. You don't know what it's meant," and so on and so forth. So that's what really kept us going during the lean years and just rolling this out. Because let's face it, it's a very unorthodox technology into going into a very traditional space. Although the vast majority of courses and players that they can, because really only for the grace of God, that would be me. I couldn't golf. I've got a bad back or a hip. Then I'd have to use this as well. So for most of us seniors, or for a big percentage, they'll just be sliding right over to power, and they'll be able to, you know, play another 15 or 20 years of golf and enjoy themselves with family and friends and so forth.
Well, that's fantastic stuff, Steve. It's a wonderful club. I really enjoyed watching Rick Shields and the fun he was having using it and testing it. It's been great having you as part of the show tonight and hearing about the Power to Golf Club. I hope you'll come back, keep us up to date with the great things you guys are doing. It's fantastic stuff.
Well, we will. And thanks for having us on the show. Appreciate it. And like I said, if anyone needs any additional information, it's power2golf.com. And thanks for having me part of your guest tonight.
I appreciate it very much, Steve. All the best in your family. I look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Okay, great. Bye now.
See you, Steve. That is Steve Fluke, co-founder and chief marketing officer for Power 2 Golf. Folks, I highly encourage you to go watch the video that Rick Shields did with the Power to Golf Club. It was fun watching him using it. I'm sure it's 10 times more fun to actually get to go play with it. If you have an injury, arthritis, or whatever that is keeping you from being able to swing a golf club, this is the answer for you. Go get yourself one of these and get back out there. You'll probably beat all your buddies once you figure out how to position the golf club to hit the shots that you want. They'll all probably want to go get one for themselves as well. And like I say, it would be a hoot for a foursome to go out there and play with one of these. Be a lot of fun to see how that all worked out and the strategy and the shots you hit. I think it would be a really fun thing to do sometime. But I love this idea. It's something we've all dreamt about before. And Steve and Roy went out there and they created it. It's loads of fun. Again, power2golf.com. Go online. I look forward to having Steve back on the show again soon. All right. Now joining me a little bit later than he usually does is our resident director of instruction, Tom Patry. Folks, if you're tired of playing the same old golf games, if you really want to play better, shoot lower scores and keep your wallet in your pocket on the 19th hole, go see Tom down in Naples, Florida. Be sure to subscribe to his YouTube channel. On there, you're going to get over 300 free video lessons. Give him a follow on Instagram at Tom Patry Golf. Check out his website, TomPatry.com, and it's always a joy to get to say that he is back with me again tonight here on Next on the Tee. Good evening, TP. How are you, my friend?
Christy, boy!
Hey, Tom Patry, how are you, my friend?
I'm tired, Christy. I'm tired. I walked 36 holes in a college tournament today, following one of my kids around. I'm old, man. I'm old. It's late. I'm old. You kept me up late today. Come on, let's go. Let's get going here. Come on.
All right, so you've been bouncing around to a couple of different locations over the last week or so because you got a couple of students out there playing in some big tournaments. Talk about that.
I started the week out, Chris, in Venice, Florida, and with one of my young ladies who plays on the Epson Tour. She made it through the first stage of LPGA Q School in Palm Springs and is playing starting Tuesday at the second stage in Venice, Florida. So I was with her for two practice rounds in Venice working with her. She's, I think she's rounding into nice form right now. So I'm really keeping my fingers crossed for her. Her name is Marissa Kirkwood. She's from the Pittsburgh area. From your
there family. You go.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Played at Kent State. Nice player. She's a little bit of a late bloomer, but I think she's heading in the right direction. So we'll have high hopes for her this week and make sure maybe she can, advance to the final and maybe get a card. So we'll see about that. But that was two great days with her. I finished up with her, went home, packed a bag up at 3 o'clock in the morning the other morning and got to Fort Myers for a 7 o'clock flight and flew to Indianapolis, got in a car, drove 3 hours to Findlay, Ohio for a Division II college from 18 teams here. I might be overstating. I think there's 18 teams here. Anyway. One of my guys who's a freshman at UIndy started a little slow this morning. He had a big number on the card. They played 36 today. Made a triple and shot 75 in the morning and was a little frustrated. We had a little conference at midday and he went out in the afternoon and shot 65.
Yeah. You go.
And he went from 40th place after the morning round and he's one shot off the lead going to the final round now in the morning tomorrow. He's in a tie for second. So
nice.
He's one shot. Yeah, 65 was pretty. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I made an error. He shot 64. He birdied 64, which is his career low.
Nice pep talk.
It was a good pep talk. He went from 40th to second, and he's one shot back on going into the final round tomorrow. So it's been a world service week. So we played the last round tomorrow, and I run to the airport in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and make a connection in your hometown, Atlanta, and back to Naples tomorrow night, probably around 11 o'clock, touchdown. So kind of a crazy week, but that's what you do for your kids. They're both nice players. And this kid at UIndy is a really fine player. He's been with me a couple of years, 3 years now, and he's done some nice things already. So he's got some upside ahead of him.
Sounds like he does. Went out and shoot 64. Good for him.
Yeah, he plays like you. He plays very similar to the kind of golf you play.
It does sound very similar to the rounds that I play.
Indeed.
Yeah, exactly right. Tom, I want to switch gears a little bit. I want to get your thought on something. Solheim Cup, Ryder Cup. We saw the Solheim Cup finished in a 14-14 tie. We could have had the same thing. We've had it in the past in President's Cups and in Ryder Cups. And when I think back to the 2003 President's Cup, which did end up in a tie, but they sent Tiger and Ernie Els out there to play a playoff hole, which they both parred. And then because of darkness, they agreed that the matches would end in a tie. Do we need a tie-breaking system in these matches, or is the tiebreaker itself the fact that the team that needs to get back the cup knows it needs 14 and a half points, and anything less than the 14 and a half points, it's not a tie, it's a loss?
I think the tie makes those events unique a little bit. And then that's my first thought. My second thought is, can you imagine in an event where you're representing your country in a team format, and you're the guy that's picked after all week long, all these matches being played, all this drama unfolding, and then you send one guy out there with the weight of his whole country on his shoulders to decide the Ryder Cup. It seems like it's almost too much to ask of any one person in a team format. So I get it. I'm not crazy about the tie myself, but I think traditionally that's what it's been. And since I'm really old, Chris, really, really old, and I'm very traditional, I think it stays the way it is.
Golf Digest did an article this week on the 10 rules of golf that we ignore every day. And in that article, I was surprised to read that taking a mulligan started actually at Wingfoot. There was a member there named Mulligan, and he always required a second tee shot to get in the fairway, and now it's commonplace, and that whole thing is stuck, and that's where it all began. I'm guessing you're not a fan of the two off the first tee rule and this guy Mulligan.
No, I'm not, Chris. I think that golf is played. I mean, here's what I say to people when they come to me: do you want to learn how to play golf, or do you want to learn how to play country club? So,
it's
if you want to learn how to play country club, the mulligan is part of your repertoire, and so is the gimme from 75 feet away. I'll pick it up. That's good. Oh, you'll make that. Pick that. That's fine. No problem. Pick it up. Oh, hit another one. Hit one. Hit till you're happy. Yeah.
No gimmies?
That's not something I'm really fond of. If you want to learn how to play golf, you come to TP. If you want to learn how to play country club, call somebody else.
So that's good. Pick it up. You're four still inches. Chris, you're inside the leather.
If you come down to visit me this winter in Naples, and we get to play golf, and I hope we do. I hope we finally do this. Two things you shouldn't ask me for: a second one off the first tee, and the words, is it good? Because they don't apply when I play golf. That's not the way you play golf. Okay. Let me ask you a question. You go to the range and you warm up, and you warm up for 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 40, an hour, whatever you warm up for. So you've gone to the range to warm up. Why do you go to the first tee with the idea in mind that if I don't hit a good one off the first tee, I get another one? What is that?
You don't want to get started off on a bad foot. Come on, two off the first tee.
Chris.
No?
The first ball is like, you're at bat for the Boston Red Sox, and the first ball, he throws his strike right down the throat, you miss it. Can we try that one more time? We do that over again. Joe Montana throws an interception. No, can I have a do over on that one? I missed the first foul shot in a 1-on-1 in Madison Square Garden. Can I try that one more time?
No.
I don't think so.
Okay. No. A popular question that people ask golfers is, if you could change one rule in golf, what would it be? And for me, if your ball finds a divot in the fairway, to me, that should be a free drop. I mean, if you had a perfect tee shot in the middle of the fairway, you shouldn't get penalized for that because some schmuck didn't put the divot back in or fill it in with sand or whatever. To me, that's a crazy rule. Is there anything in golf, any of the rules that you think, hey, maybe we should rethink this one?
It's interesting you say that because for the longest time, I was crazed about not being able to tap down a spike mark. But you could fix a ball mark, right? Somebody else did both of those things before you were there, right? Spike mark, they dragged their feet, or the ball mark, they didn't fix when they hit it into the green. So I was really glad, as traditional as I am, I was really glad when it changed. You could tap down spike marks. Okay. To your point about the divot, I have to agree with you. I mean, if somebody takes a divot and doesn't replace it with either the divot or fills it with sand of some kind or smooths it out, whatever they do to make it semi-acceptable, and you hit a really good one right down the pipe and you roll into somebody's divot. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to tap down spike marks, why can't you drop it out of a divot at no penalty? Now, again, we're changing the, play it as it lies rule here. We're changing one of the real traditions in golf, play it as it lies. But I get it. I mean, things are changing. And if you can tap down spike marks, then why can't you take it out of a divot? So I don't necessarily agree with, I don't disagree with you. I disagree with the fact that all these things have been changed. So you either leave it the way it is and has always been in all cases, including tapping down spike marks, or if you're going to tap down spike marks, the divot's got to be considered too.
What about when we're playing a new course? Maybe you've got a blind drive. It goes over a ridge or something like that. You get out to the fairway, can't find your ball. Didn't know there was OB on the left or the right. Maybe it hit something. Rolled out of play. Rule says you got to go back to the tee and re-hit. But we've already got enough pace of play issues on our weekly golf courses. What do you think we should do from there? Do you follow the rule and go all the way back, take the walk of shame?
Chris, you're pressing your luck now, You're pressing your luck. Yeah.
Okay.
I gave you the divot. Okay. I gave you the spike mark. And now you want the ball over the hill. Somebody's
going to take the walk of shame. All the way, you're going to slow down the whole golf course. What about stroking distance?
So what about, let's go back to my original. Are we going to play golf today or are we going to play country? Are we going to play country club? You're really pressing the country club envelope here a lot. Okay.
That's what I do.
Yeah. I know it is. Cause you and your boys in Myrtle Beach having a couple of cocktails.
Right.
You talk.
We're not reteeing that thing.
No, you're not. So you're not playing golf. You're playing boys trip at Myrtle Beach. Okay. So that comes loosely.
Different category.
Under the country club category. Right. Exactly.
Okay. All right. So this time of year, and you spent a lot of your golf career, early part of your golf career up in the Northeast. This time of year, a lot of leaves come down.
No, here we go again. Here we go.
Leaf roll?
Yeah, leaf roll. Country club. Yeah, here we go. Country club again.
No leaf roll?
Oh,
come on.
Boy. What else? What do you want? You want some ice cream on a banana split on a pizza? What do you want? Lemonade stand on 7. What do you? Clown's mouth on 9. what else do you want? I mean, come on, stop, will you? Is this what you brought me on for tonight to talk about this stuff? Come on,
These are rules of golf, but every once in a while you got to look at them and say, well,
they're not rules of golf. They're rules of country club. The leaf roll, take it out of the divot, hit it over the hill. Stop. These are not rules of golf. Don't confuse these with rules of golf. These are rules of Chris. Rules of Chris. We should have a book, The Rules of Chris. That's what we should have. And in your world, it'd be really easy to go out and shoot 59 at some point. I mean, 15 feet, it's good. Pick it up, hit another one off every tee. Listen, if I get this two shots off every tee, I'm going to win the Open next year. Come on.
Is that right?
Oh, absolutely.
Put the money on you?
Absolutely. 100%. 100%.
All right. So let's switch gears. I want to get your thoughts on Tom Kim. He repeats at the Shriners Children's Open, one of the youngest players to win that tournament two times. And he is certainly a guy that we talked about this time last year because the arrow was pointing way up on Tom Kim. Again, very young player, but he goes out and gets this win two times in a row. Are we going to see a lot more from Tom Kim in 24?
And correct me if I'm wrong, correct me on this because I don't really remember if it was the conversation you and I had on or off the air, but I was talking to somebody, I think it was you last year about Tom Kim and saying, this guy is the real deal. And
yes,
I really,
that was us.
Okay. I really think that he is the real deal. I mean, I think this kid is really talented. He is, we know how young he is and he's played some unbelievable golf already, and I wouldn't be surprised one bit if we turned around within the next 2 years and said Tom Kim is a major champion. It wouldn't surprise me at all. It wouldn't shock me at all. And if he doesn't win a major in the next 2 years, he's going to win 3 to 5 more golf tournaments in the next 2 years. This kid can really play. He doesn't really have a weakness. He drives it beautifully. He's a good iron player. He's got a nice short game. He puts the ball reasonably well. He doesn't take himself too seriously. He gets in the hunt, man, and he's got that look, man. When he gets in the hunt, he's got that look coming down the stretch, like Raymond had, or like Jack had, or like Arnold had, or like, you know, anybody who's a great closer. The kid can close the deal. He's for real. He's for real.
Yeah, he is the youngest player since Tiger Woods in 97 to win 3 PGA Tour titles. So not bad company for young Tom Kim.
No, not at all. Not at all. On international teams, you know, coming up and playing a real, real role in international competition, you got to keep your eye on him for sure.
Tom, you mentioned Raymond Floyd a moment ago, and he's a player that I don't think enough people in this generation or at this time know enough about Raymond Floyd. You talk about the look in his eye. To me, Raymond was a killer. He was a tremendous putter. And when he was locked and loaded and he had that look in his eye, he was really tough to beat. He doesn't get enough credit as the great player he was. Tell people about how great Raymond Floyd used to be.
I think the two people that come to mind that I would categorize the same way you just described, Chris, that are actually both Hall of Famers, but this generation, like you said, doesn't really know enough about them or realize how great they were. And they were very different players, but Raymond Floyd and Billy Casper. Those two players, to me, have been kind of swept under the rug, if you will, in golf history as far as being really respected at the level they really should be respected. But you talk to any players that played in their generation and played against them, and they'll tell you those two are, you know, incredibly, incredibly talented, great players and great closers. And you look at their collective records, and it's amazing how many golf tournaments they won, and majors, by the way. But Raymond was a guy who, Billy was a little quieter, a little more laid back, was a little bit more, I call him user-friendly, if you will. Raymond was not user-friendly. Raymond would get right in your grill and get it locked in. And man, you knew you were in a bar fight with him coming down the stretch. He was not going to fold. And you had to beat him because he was not going to beat himself. A hell of a closer, a hell of a competitor, a hell of a short game, as you said. And you mentioned how good a putter he was. Maybe one of the great chippers and pitchers inside 50 yards that's ever played the game. Not far behind the guy you know I love more than anybody, Seve Ballesteros. You know, kind of in that kind of category with short game.
So let's take that a step further, because Raymond was not only great throughout the early parts of his career, but here's a guy that was great into his 50s. I mean, he played on a Ryder Cup in his 50s. He was competing and nearly winning major championships in his late 40s, early 50s. This guy was great, not just for a short period of time, because he came on the scene in the 70s, into the 90s, still one of the top players in the world.
Yeah, I mean, he had a lot of longevity. And, you know, and like you said, it kind of a funky golf swing. He really got the club laid off and behind him quite a bit. Had his own style and his own way of doing things. But let me, you know, one of those guys who was just an outlier. He didn't miss the center of the club face very often at all. Was a very solid ball striker, probably underrated as a ball striker actually, because of the way that people viewed his golf swing. But putted the ball just beautifully. I mean, absolutely gorgeous. His major record speaks for itself. He won his share and he was close a lot of the times. I can't say enough about him, and he's just a hell of a player. Hell of a player.
Tom, just a couple more before I let you go. And Padraig Harrington kind of got pulled to the side this past week, and given some of the old golf clubs, some things from the late 1890s, early 1900s, from the hickory shafts to the way the golf balls were made and that sort of thing. And they, as we know, Padraig is found a kind of a fountain of youth. His swing speed is greater now than it was when he was winning the majors that he did. Went out there with the persimmon wood and the old Varden Flyer and those sort of golf balls. Instead of hitting it, you know, 200, 220 with a 5-iron, he's hitting it 160 yards. I mean, really kind of lets everybody know how the game has evolved and how much the equipment has made a difference. And obviously fitness and that sort of thing plays into it as well. But I, you know, at this time of year, we've talked about this used to be silly season and all that sort of thing. What I'd love to see, Tom, is those guys out there with the old clubs. You don't need to go back to the 1890 stuff. I mean, to use the stuff that you used to use when you first were in college and coming out on tour, a persimmon wood, the Mulata golf ball. I'd love to see those guys all competing with that. So you could really kind of compare eras for what it was like back then versus now.
It'd be fun. I mean, if you could have a silly season event, you know, and they're popular, they're fun things to have a silly season event, like you said, with equipment from, say, from 1975 to 1985. We've talked about this off air before, you and I. I still have the driver that I won the 81 NCAA with, Division II. It's a Tony Penna persimmon with a, you ready, Chris, a gamma fire insert.
Ooh.
And the Bellotta golf ball. I mean, I've got some old Bellottas around the house, and you know, once a year I take that driver out, you know, and I fire that baby up, and hit a couple of Bellottas on the golf course. It's like hitting a marshmallow. Like it's like hitting a beach ball. I mean, and Chris, you know, the thing amazing, we all thought it was, you know, it was the most unbelievable equipment in the whole world, because it was at the time. It was all we knew. But now that we know something else, we have something to compare it to. It's amazing to me that we hit the shots we hit with those clubs and those balls, and that we played the game at the level we played it at with those balls. Does that make those players in that generation really far better than we ever gave them credit for? I don't think you can really compare generations. Can you compare Joe Louis with Muhammad Ali? I don't think you can do that. You know, can you? Can you compare Bob Cousy with Magic Johnson? I don't think he can do that. It was just a different time, but that drive. I look at that drive. I set that driver down on the ground at Tony Penna. It looks like a pea shooter. I'd whiff it if I. It was, the head is so tiny.
Yes.
Compared to what we play with now, it's just optically, it's hard to swallow it now that we're so far down the, you know, down the road. But it would, you're right, Chris, it would be a great event to, you know, put, you know, whatever companies these guys represent, whether it's Titleist or it's Ping or it's Cobra or it's Callaway, you know, go back to, you know, 1975, 1976 or 1977, and take those clubs off the shelf and hand those guys a set of clubs from the company they represent currently that was built in that era. And put those golf balls in their hands and say, okay, boys, we're going to play a 72-hole event. Let's see how good you guys are. And by the way, and have to be a putter from that era too. Can't be a new Scotty or something like that. It has to be a putter.
From bullseye.
Whatever you want to pick. You got to pick a putter from that era to putt with as well. I mean, it would be a lot of fun. I think it'd be a great showcase. It really would.
So I want to touch a little more on a point you just made a moment ago. Club head size.
Oh my God.
I mean, I used to have a 4-wood, still have it, by the way. And
of course
when you look at the head of a 4-wood and a 5-wood from that era, and you stick a golf ball down on the ground. I mean, I loved my 4-wood back then. It was my favorite club to hit. Now I look at it with a golf ball on the ground. I think, how in the world did I hit it?
Tell the truth. It's probably still in your bag. You're too cheap to buy a new one. Tell the truth.
That's not exactly accurate, but I kept it.
Can you tell me what kind it is?
It's a Wilson. It was Dr. Kerry Middlecoff.
Oh my God. How cool is that?
Right. I just want you to describe the length of the club head compared to the golf ball. There isn't much left on either side.
So, in the same vein, when Freddie was playing his best, you know what I mean? Was he number one in the world in 92? Am I right about that? Is that right?
Sounds right, because that's when he won the Masters.
Yeah, I think that's right. So he had a Tommy Armour McGregor 693T persimmon headed driver. I can still remember it. And I have a Tommy Armour 693T. Persimmon headed driver. I used to collect persimmon headed driver, all the old McGregors and that club, by the way, Freddie was using in 92, 91, 90. Am I dating myself? Am I wrong? No, I'm going to go back further. When he first came out on tour, I'm wrong. So I'm talking about 80, 81, 82, 83. He had this persimmon-headed McGregor driver, and I had one that I had collected. He begged me for that driver like he wanted it as a backup. And I said, if yours ever cracks, you can have this, but I'm not going to just give it to you now. And I still have it in the garage. And I have a couple of sets of McGregors that you're describing where I have the driver, a two wood, and a two wood,
ooh,
a three wood, a four wood, and a five wood. And you could, you know, depending on what you wanted in your bag, you put whatever you had, what you wanted in your bag. Well, though, like you said, those four woods and five woods, I don't even know how we made contact.
Right.
I don't know how we made contact. It was like, they're like little tiny pea shooters. They're like little tiny pea shooters. Like, you know, it's unbelievable the shots we hit with them were you know, really quite good. I mean, but it's amazing how far technology has come. And in fairness to, and I'm not knocking the tour player today at all, how easy it is to hit some of these clubs. I have a 7-wood in my bag right now, a title of 7-wood. It's like cheating. It's like cheating. I know I make certain swings that are not very good swings, and I look up and the ball's going towards the hole. It's just, I'm like, that ball's not supposed to go towards the hole. That was a bad swing. It's going towards the hole. It's just, it's like cheating compared to, because if you did that kind of swing with one of those clubs you're talking about, dude, that ball is leaving the golf course. It's forget it's not finding the fairway. It's leaving the golf course. It's not landing in play. But we played really quite well with that stuff. That's all we knew, you know?
Yeah. I just, to me, that just harkens back to that time where I just think golf was more of a skill game back then
than
it is now.
And again, I'm not knocking today's tour player, but you can't compare generations. It's hard to do that. You know, it's not really fair to whoever's getting knocked in that argument. But that being said, like you said, I think you got a great idea there, Sarah. I think you do an event where you put the set of that equipment in today's player's hand and say, here's the ball too. Here's the putter as well. And we're going to have a little tournament and see what you can do with this.
Yeah, I'd love to see it back on one of the old golf courses, right? Play it from the same yardage they used to play it from back in the mid-70s. Right. Set it all up just the way it was, whether it was a U.S. Open or a PGA or whatever. Right. Same yardage, same setup. Let's go see how you guys play with this.
If I'm not mistaken, Chris, I have in my files here, I have a Hogan file, and I think I have a sheet of Hogan's yardages. If I'm not mistaken, his 3-iron was listed as going 180. And that's for a tour player today, that's either a 6 or 7-iron.
Bob, right?
Right. I mean,
Dustin Johnson's probably hitting a 9-iron that far.
So now let me ask you this question. And this is the opposite of what you're talking about. We brought Ben Hogan out of the grave with his golf swing and we gave him today's equipment. Would he be one of the best players in the world? Would he, you know?
Oh, for sure.
I mean, and how far would he actually hit it?
That's the question. How far would he hit it? I mean, look, any of the great legends, if you were able to bring him back and put him in the equipment we have today, they're obviously still going to be great players. Great players are just great players. It doesn't matter.
I mean, would it be the best of the, because of creme de la creme, would it be the best of the best? I got to believe it'd be unstoppable. You know, I mean, if they were that skillful with that equipment and you put this stuff in their hands, and again, I'm talking about in their prime, in their prime, you know, how amazing would they have been?
Right. You know? Yeah. I mean, that's the question, right? I mean, look, you spend a lot of time with Seve. You give Seve one of these drivers golf ball and these wedges.
Right.
I mean, it would be ridiculous good he would be and how dominant he would be.
I'm thinking about guys who were great ball strikers in that day, like Tommy Bolts and Mike Suchaks and guys like that who were, you know, really long in the day. Jack Nicklaus in his early youth, you know, how much different would that have been? You know, I mean, it's got to be Tom Weisskopf. I mean, with today's equipment in his prime, I mean, it'd be unbelievable, unbelievable.
I like I say, I'm an advocate for that kind of golf tournament. I think that would be a lot of fun to watch. And I think people would get a kick out of watching it.
I think we should,
to
I
see
think
how they would perform.
I think we should get a sponsor and call it the Mascaro Cadillac Open. You know, I think that you should be the spokesperson for that.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think that's exactly what should happen.
You ready? And you ready? The final word on that one? Indeed.
Indeed. That's right.
Indeed. Yeah.
Tom, before I let you go, remind our listeners about the great things you're doing. How can you're on the run, but how can they catch up with you?
Well, Chris, I'm going to save this for our next show, I guess in 2 weeks from now, when you already know we can't share it, unfortunately, yet. I'm going to have a really, really, really cool announcement that's, let's just say for me, it's career changing. I'm not trying to be dramatic, but I think it really, at 65 years old, it's career changing. An opportunity has been presented to me, that I've accepted. I can't announce it yet because the entity that I'm talking to wants to announce it first. I will be announcing it this Wednesday at 5 p.m. on social media and in a web blast. But you'll be the first live interview I'll do on it. So it'll be on our next show. It's going to be really cool and I'm excited about it. I can tell you this much. I'm going to have a new home. And I have to leave it at that.
Wow.
But I'm excited. Probably as excited as I've been since my Westchester days. It's a similar opportunity. When I went to Westchester in 1990, it was a building opportunity. It was a situation that was somewhat broken. And I was kind of given a blank canvas and said, go paint it. And I'm kind of being given a similar situation right now at a great, great place. So I want to share it with all your listeners first live. And the only way people hear about it before that will be in an email blast from me, who are on my mailing list and some social media spots. But I'll save that for your show.
Well, I certainly look forward to hearing that announcement. I'm sure we'll all be tuned in to Tom Patrick Golf on Instagram to get that or on your mailing list. But I appreciate the fact that you're going to share it with our listeners 2 weeks from tonight. You're the best, my friend.
It'd be cool. Chris, it's 10-7 Cowboys. Your team's leading.
Oh, stop. Stock down. No, stop.
The Texas Rangers, aren't they? Texas Rangers aren't tonight?
They were on earlier tonight, and they beat the Astros to go up 2-0.
Your team,
my American League team, go Phillies.
Oh, now that's what you're gonna do.
You're trying to frame me and put me in a bad spot. That's not what I said at all. But you know,
Clark Dennis, hope you're listening out there. Hope you're listening. I'm gonna start calling you Harry Hypocrite. That's what you're gonna
do. Oh, stop! Stock down. No. Tom, always great to spend time with you, my friend. I look forward to catching up with you and hearing the big announcement two weeks from tonight. You're the best.
No, you're the best, pal. I love you. Hey, and congratulations on all your awards, man. It's unbelievable what you've been doing. Unbelievable.
I appreciate you saying that. It's all thanks to great guests like you, though.
I'll talk to you soon, pal.
All right. Take care, Tom.
Bye, buddy.
That is the great Tom Patrick, folks. Again, at Tom Patrick Golf on Instagram. TomPatrick.com is the website. And be sure to subscribe to his YouTube channel. Get all those free playing lessons and tips. They don't come better than that guy. I love him so much. He's such a wonderful individual. Lucky to have him as a big part of this show. And like I say, the show is what it is because of great guests like him and Debbie O'Connell and all the great folks that have been a huge part of this show over the 10 seasons. So we'll look forward to that big announcement from Tom when he comes back on the show 2 weeks from tonight. Folks, before I close up shop tonight, you've heard me talk about some great products that I saw at the PGA Merchandise Show. And another one that stood out to me is On Point Golf. Game-changing, three-dimensional ball markers that science shows will help us see the line better when we're putting and therefore make more putts and lower our scores. See for yourself why Jim Furyk and I are big fans by going online to onpointgolf.us. All right, my friends, it is time for me to put a bow on this edition of Next on the Tee. My sincere thanks again to Tom Patrick, Debbie O'Connell, Simon Millington, Clark Dennis, and Steve Fluke for joining me this week. Scheduled to join me next week are our good friend and my all-time favorite author, Keith Hirschland,
will be back. Rumor has it my character CT Mascaro is going to reprise his role in Keith's new book. We started out with Murphy Murphy in the Case of Serious Crisis. Well, now comes the sequel, Murphy Murphy in the Case of the Commission on Clichés. You can get your copy out on KeithHirschland.com and on Amazon as well. So looking forward to getting that new book and reading it. Keith is just fantastic. And getting to spend time with him again next week is always a privilege and an honor. Following Keith is another great friend of the show, PGA Tour legend Hal Sutton will be back. And then the host of Grilling at the Green, Jeff Tracy, our good friend, he'll be a part of the show as well. And then making his next On the Tee debut will be Dr. Robert Winters to help us with the mental side of the game. So, folks, it's going to be a great show. I hope you'll come back and be a part of it with us. As a reminder, you can find this show available as a podcast just about anywhere you get your podcast content. In particular, we're out there on TribLive.com in my hometown of Pittsburgh and the Pittsburgh Tribune Review site. Just go to TribLive.com, then click on Sports and then Podcasts, and you'll find Next on the Tee available free for you there. You can also find the show on Good Pods, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Audio Boom, and Player.fm. And again, my thanks to the folks over at Good Pods for making this show one of their recommended podcasts. Download their free app and stream your favorite podcast on your favorite device. But as always, most of all, my thanks to all of you for being the greatest supporters in the history of podcasts. I appreciate you all so very much. Until next week, hit 'em straight, my friends.
Hey, it's Boxer.
And I'm Sarah Towns with Experience Columbus.
Did you know Columbus is home to the number one science museum in the country?
Ranked number 7 on Food & Wine's list of America's next great food cities?
And one of Condé Nast Traveler's top 10 best big cities in America?
Yes, Columbus. An Experience Columbus podcast keeps you in the know about what's happening in the Arch City.
Binge, listen to all the current episodes.
Or catch up on all things Columbus and discover what makes this city so special.
By the end, you'll be asking yourself, can all of this really exist in one city?
Yes, Columbus.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.